Okay, we're talking about the armor, and we said last week that the soldier receives strength from the Lord. He receives his strength from the Lord. So we're not in this by ourselves. That's comforting. If you're in a battle and you're all alone, that would be sort of a fearful thing. But the Lord is with us. He's given us instruction, and he's also given us this equipment that we're talking about. And he told us that we should put it on. And that is in the middle voice in the Greek language in which it was written, which means that this is something we need to do. Put on these various pieces of armor. I said just before that our task or the work of a soldier is to stand. And while we're standing, if we're successful in that, there's going to be some withstanding, some resistance that we have to offer in the onslaught of our enemy. The enemy is the devil. And the Bible says that he has devious strategy, that he will come after us in ways that perhaps we wouldn't think of. He has a lot of tricks up his sleeve. We've been examining these pieces of armor that the Lord has provided for us to resist and stand against the devil. It's been compared, we believe, to the armor that Paul may have been observing or looking at, examining when he wrote this book, because he was under arrest in Rome, and there were Roman soldiers that would guard him, and so perhaps he had them to look at and caused him to have these thoughts, and then the Spirit of God had him pen these very words. Let's review quickly those pieces of armor that we've already looked at. We're talking about our armor. Can you see that okay? If we need to turn off this front light, it's okay with me, but if you can see it, it's all right like it is. The first piece is found in verse 14 of chapter 6. It says, having your loins girt about with truth. So the girdle of truth or the belt of truth, as a piece of spiritual armor, he's talking about the truth. This piece of armor consists of Bible truth. We believe it to be objective, not the truthfulness of the soldier, but the truth that he holds on to, the Bible truth that he believes. The fact that it is compared to a belt or a girdle suggests that it serves to cover our bowels, our middle section, which in the Bible is associated a number of times with our emotions. So what exactly does this mean? The Bible says that truth will protect our emotions. And I use the example, and I think it's probably one of the best examples, when someone dies, our emotion is sadness, sorrow, and mourning. But if we understand the truths of the Word of God, then we know that the graveyard is not the end. That they'll come out of the grave, they'll be resurrected, and they'll be with the Lord forever, and we'll rejoin them. And that truth gives us a different perspective, doesn't it, of things. The girdle of truth protects our emotions. We don't have to be sad because the Lord's still in control. We don't have to be afraid because the Lord is near. We don't have to worry because the Lord's promised to provide our needs. You see, the truths will help us to keep our emotions in check, so that we can be ready and stable, ready for the fight as we go out into the battlefield, so to speak. Also there in verse 14, you see that there is a breastplate of righteousness. The breastplate consists of righteousness. We said practical righteousness, not imputed. We don't have to do that for ourselves. Not self-righteousness, but practical righteousness. That means that we have decided in our hearts that we're going to do right. We have this resolve that I'm going to continually do the right thing. And like a breastplate, this determination to do the right thing will protect our hearts. Our hearts need to be protected because that's where sin is born. Right? All we have to do is to decide, I will, and we've already gone too far. We've already committed a sin in our hearts. To look at a woman and lust, the Bible says, is the same as adultery, right? To hate your brother is the same as murder. So sin is born in our hearts, and we need to protect them. Our heart is the place of our will. With the determination to do right, the soldier of the cross will keep his heart or his will out of range, if you will, of Satan's fiery darts. The breastplate of righteousness. We're just reviewing now. The third piece of armor is found in verse 15. The feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. The shoes as a piece of armor consist of the preparation of the gospel of peace. Preparation means readiness or preparedness. It's the idea behind these words. Brace yourself. You want to be ready. You want to make sure you have firm footing on the battlefield. And what is this firm footing anyway? Well, it's because of the gospel of peace. That's the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, which affords for us peace with God and the peace of God in our hearts. The two prepositions you should take note of. Peace with God. We're not His enemies anymore. We're His children now. Imagine that. From enemy to child. We're experiencing, if we desire, the peace of God in our hearts. Everything's okay. We have peace that passes understanding. We can't explain it. And because of this peace, we're assured of God's power and God's presence when we're out in the battlefield. We're at peace with God. We're on His side. So having made peace with God and enjoying the peace of God, the soldier of the cross is ready for whatever comes his way. With God, how can he fail? Does that sound ready? Does that sound braced? It's this peace of God that gives us this. We're on God's side. If the Lord be for us, who can be against us? We have peace about that, don't we? Number four is the shield of faith. Verse 16, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Why are Satan's darts fiery? If you were throwing fiery darts, well, the fiery dart would do more damage, right? But you also don't have to hit the target. Just get it near the target. Its influence, its destructive powers will spread. So his fiery darts spread and consume. He tells us in verse 16, above all, taking the shield of faith. Why above all? Well, it's the first line of defense. It's out there in front, you remember. What is this shield? Well, it's our faith. It's our trusting in something or someone, dependence upon something and someone. The shield of faith is deployed when we act upon what we say we believe. It's exercising our faith. The shield defends the believer against Satan's lies, his fiery darts. Jesus told us that the devil is a liar in John chapter 8 and verse 44. He's a liar and the father of it, the Lord said. He lied to many people in the scriptures, to Eve, to David, to Ananias, to Judas. And he lies to you too. Have you heard Satan lie lately? He'll say things like, you're going to have to tell a little white lie this time. Otherwise, they're going to get in trouble. You ever heard something like that? Trying to make you think you need to do wrong in order to get a chance to do right. That's a lie from the devil. You never have to do wrong. He lies often, and it comes in the form of some promise of pleasure. Oh, go ahead and look. Nobody knows. Is that true? No, that's not true. God knows. God's looking at us always, and He knows our hearts. Satan's a liar. And with faith in the principles and the precepts and the promises of God, the soldier of the cross is not going to believe those lies. Now I want you to think with me about what we just said. There's the girdle of truth on the right side, and there's the shield of faith on the left. They're alike, but they're different. Well, how are they alike? Well, they both involve spiritual truth as a defense. The girdle of truth and the shield of faith in those truths. You see, they have something in common. The difference. What's the difference? What's the distinction between the two? The belt uses knowledge of the Bible or Bible truth to keep our emotions in check by helping us view things from God's perspective. So I think of the word perception. How do I perceive things through Bible truth? This girdle of truth helps with my perception of things and helps me to keep my emotions in check. On the other hand, the shield, which also uses truth, tells us to exercise our faith in those Bible truths. And in doing so, we can intercept and extinguish the lies of the devil. I think of the word resilience. We can be tough on the battlefield because we rely upon the biblical truths to quench the lies and the fiery darts of Satan. So though we're talking about spiritual truth in both cases, each of these pieces of armor kind of applies those biblical truths differently, doesn't it? Tells us to use them differently. Verse 17, this is where we left off last time, so I'll slow down just a little bit here. It's talking about the helmet of salvation. Look at the verb in verse 17, and take the helmet. Before he told us to put on, it was a different Greek word. The first Greek word, analambano, means pick something up, to pick it up, do this yourself. This word here, translated take in verse 17, actually means accept, means to accept. The verb is applicable to the last two pieces of armor, the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit. He's telling us to take them, to accept them, to receive them. They're put in place by God for the soldier of the cross. God gives us these. If you were talking about a literal soldier, these would be the pieces of armor after he's already armored up everything else. These would be the last things handed to him. He would receive them, and someone would help him with the helmet, perhaps, to place it upon his head. And all we have to do with this helmet of salvation is reckon it so. Like the Lord tells us to reckon in chapter 6 and verse 11 of Romans, that we reckon ourselves dead to sins and alive unto the Lord. As a piece of physical armor, this would be made out of metal first, probably lined with leather for comfort and position. It would protect the head, the most critical organ of the body. Why? Because it's the command post for the whole body, the central nervous system. As a piece of spiritual armor, this helmet consists of our salvation, it says. I believe it means to have assurance of our salvation. Protects our thoughts. I want to read you a couple verses. This one from Isaiah 59. Listen carefully. For he, talking about Messiah, for Christ, put on righteousness as a breastplate and a helmet of salvation upon his head. And he put on the garments of vengeance for clothing and was clad with zeal as a cloak. The helmet of salvation. There was no doubt in the Lord's mind, in the Lord Jesus' mind, when he went out to do battle with the devil, who was the winner, right? He's God Almighty. Listen to this verse from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. It says, but let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet the hope of salvation. The word hope in the New Testament is not a hope-so hope like our 21st century hope. Every time you read the word, it's talking about a confident expectation of something. I expect this to happen. I believe that this helmet of salvation is assurance of our salvation. Victory over sin, past, present, and future. The past is the penalty. It's been forgiven. There's not a sin in my past Satan can bring back to my mind that I'm not forgiven for. I'm totally saved from the sins of my past. I am saved right now from the victory of sin over my life, for it having victory. This old man is defeated at the cross, And I can have power over sin in my life as I lean upon Christ and as I listen to His Holy Spirit. Salvation past, present, how about future? We'll be delivered even from the presence of sin. Even from the presence of sin. Won't that be a great day? No more sin to contend with. This body of death, it'll be translated into a body like His glorious body. Full salvation. What's the benefit of our understanding that our salvation is sure in Christ? Well, according to this, it protects our head. Our head, our thoughts, our minds. It works like this, I believe. When you know that the victory is already yours, when you're confident that you're the winner and you're on the winning side, you're not likely to surrender anything. Why would you quit when you're winning? When you will win? When the outcome is already determined? If God controls your mind, then Satan does not, right? And whatever controls your mind also controls your body. The helmet of salvation. Now I want you to look at these two pieces of armor. Here's the helmet of salvation and the shoes, our feet shod with a preparation of the gospel of peace. There's some overlapping here, isn't there? Some similarity to them. How are they alike? Well, they both have to do with assurance of our salvation. In one sense, we have peace because we're sure we're saved. We're right with God. And on the other sense, we're with this helmet of salvation, it protects our thoughts, our minds. The helmet, or I should say, first the shoes, are our peace with and peace of God, which make us confident that we are not alone on the battlefield. So the word confidence comes from these feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. The gospel gives me confidence, helps me to brace myself because I'm at peace with God. I have the peace of God. The helmet protects our thoughts by reminding us that we are already victors in Christ. There's no sense in surrender. I think of the word determination. It is a boost to our morale, our thoughts, the helmet of salvation. Both of them, going back to the gospel of Christ and to the truth and the assurance that we're saved and know God and He's on our side. So there's similarities, but there's distinction between the two. The last piece of armor that we'll talk about tonight is this sword of the Spirit. The sword of the Spirit. The sword described as a physical piece of armor for the Roman soldier would have been a Machaera short sword, a two-edged, cut and thrust, 6 to 18 inches in length, carried by the soldier. It was his only offensive weapon. There are some similarities, some parallels to the spiritual armor, the sword of the Spirit. The Bible tells us here that it's the Word of God, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. The word in the Greek language is rhema. Rhema. The Word. The rhema of God. It means an utterance of God, something God said, whether spoken or thought. I'm thinking something God said. I can think a rhema, a word of God. Something specific. There's another word that is often translated, W-O-R-D, in the English Bible. It's the word logos. Logos. You've heard that before. There's a Bible study program called Logos. Logos is a broader term than rhema. It refers to the whole counsel of God. All of Scripture, the Word of God, we would say, and all of it together, the Logos of God. It's the word that's used in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 4 where it says, "For the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword." The Logos of God. Logos is also the word used to refer to the Lord Jesus Christ. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. In John chapter 1. So logos is a broader word, but this is the word rhema. Something God said. That's the sword of the Spirit, to fight back with something God said. Does that remind you of anything that happened in the Bible? To fight back with something God said. Who did that?
Jesus.
The Lord Jesus did, didn't he? On the Mount of Temptation. This is the sword of the Spirit. The sword of the Spirit. Does it mean that he gives it to us, the sword that the Spirit gives to us? Or does it mean the sword used in us by the Spirit? Because the Spirit lives inside of us, right? Is it his sword? Or is he giving it to us so it's our sword? And the answer is
yes.
The answer is yes. It is. It's the Word of God. It's the sword of the Spirit given to us by the Spirit, no doubt. And we can wield it ourselves, or he may wield it within us. He may speak to us something that God said. And he does often. Peter used his physical sword. You remember at the Garden of Gethsemane? And he cut Malchus' ear off. And the Lord stuck it back on the side of his head and it was okay. I suspect that he still had blood on his robe. I wonder how Malchus felt at the trial of the Lord Jesus. Still feeling his ear. It was on the ground, still kind of dirty. Bloody, doesn't hurt. There it is, back on the side of his head. How could he be an unbeliever? Peter cut his ear off. I like to talk about it anyway. That's the physical sword. He used the sword of the Spirit at Pentecost. Something Jesus said. Which was more effective? Sword of the Spirit. Much more effective than the physical sword. In Matthew chapter 4, Jesus was tempted and he answered Satan those several times with something that God said. The sword of the Spirit. Our offensive weapon. With the sword we can give it back to him, so to speak. You know, we're not trying to advance upon his kingdom so much as individuals. We can do that as a church. But there is this idea in standing here and holding my ground that there's going to be some resistance and putting up the shield of faith and slashing back with the sword of the Spirit, resisting him. And James promised, the Lord promised, if we'll resist him, he'll flee. In the strength of the Lord and in the power of his word, then he'll flee from us. When I started to talk about the armor of God, I thought to myself, how much this has been a blessing to me in the last few years in my own life, what I've tried to share with you. And I get done speaking here and I wonder, do you really have it? Because I'm the kind of individual, I've heard many messages on this armor of God, and I just think, well, yeah, I know that. But I never gave a lot of serious thought about really understanding this and really putting it to work in my life. In other words, putting on this armor. And I would ask you, dear brother or sister, have you armored up? You say, I don't know if I understand them. Well, work on it a little bit. Try to understand. This is real. This works. This will defeat Satan in our lives. This armor that God has provided. This is not just for preaching. Not just for books and fancy slides. This really works. And I would encourage you, armor up. I've tried to help you understand it. I'm going to review it again next week because we're just about out of time. And I'm going to review it again next week and look at another verse. Verse 18. Talks about prayer. It's interesting that it's right here along with the armor of God. Well, he's our commander. We need to talk to him, right? We need to have him talk to us. And so we'll talk about prayer. Here's our soldier. There he is. I stood and let Mary Jean sort of sketch me. Armored up. It's interesting when you consider the physical armor and how it overlaps and protects different parts of the body. This is God's comparison, not mine. I didn't come up with this. It's in the Word of God. Brothers and sisters, we are soldiers of the cross. You armor up, you'll stand a chance at holding your ground. You stand out there oblivious to what's happening and around, and you're going to be a casualty. You're going to be injured spiritually. May the Lord help us to armor up. The girdle of truth, or belt of truth. The breastplate of righteousness. The shoes shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. The helmet of salvation. Sword of the Spirit. The shield of faith. Do you know what each of them means? Do you know how to armor up? To protect yourself? With these, salvation, the Word of God, the righteousness, truth, faith, and peace. Finally, my brethren, verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Brothers and sisters, I plead with you. Armor up. There's a battle ahead. You'll see Satan tomorrow. If you're watching, you'll see what he's doing tomorrow. Maybe tonight. Armor up. Let's pray. Father, I pray that you would bless these truths to our lives. It's not enough to be hearers of the Word, Lord. We definitely need to do this in our lives to make this happen. Lord, direct the thoughts of every individual. Help us to be ready for the onslaught that lies ahead. And help us, Father, help us that we might be victors in Christ for your glory and honor, not just in the war, but Lord, in every little battle. Forgive us where we fail you. Help us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.